everybody. What's up? Another edition of Geektastic Sypha. We are live. I'm also going live on my IG so that people can see. We are live. We are live. We're back with another one. It's been a crazy week, as usual. Mm-hmm. I knew I fought against this so hard. But I can't not say RIP Matthew Perry. I can't. I tried.
I wasn't gonna do it.
I was annoyed with myself that I was just like, of course he dies.
Can you right be after any I... more of going back on your word? I did it wrong. I didn't do it justice. I'm so close for the Chandler bling, but not.
No, okay, I got what you were doing, but. I still stand by what I said. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of talking about death. Obviously, I don't think anyone ever wants to talk about death ad nauseum, and it sucks to start it off at the top. But my God, Matthew Perry, Canadian actor, was on Friends. You know, did
Matthew Perry was Canadian too?
Yeah, Matthew Perry's Canadian. Or if he's not Canadian, if I'm wrong. He's not Canadian, but his stepfather is Canadian, and he did live in Ottawa.
No. Matthew Langford Perry was American and Canadian. Okay, I thought it was only just, what's his name? Joey, the actor who played Joey was Canadian.
Joey's Canadian? I didn't know Joey was Canadian.
I think so. Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc. But I know Matthew Perry.
Nope, I'm wrong.
Okay. So Matthew Perry. My bad. Yeah, no, that's all good. That's all good.
I mean one of them was Canadian.
It's that weird space where we live in a world where we try not to, like, it's from an era when you didn't know anything about actors, but now we know too much about actors.
I just remember it's one of them. I remember somewhere hearing, this one of the Friends actors is Canadian. So I just assume it's Matthew LeBlanc, you know, the one that has LeBlanc.
That's fair. And if I'm not mistaken, his stepfather is a famous Canadian journalist, Keith. I'm trying to remember who his stepfather was. One of those famous. Can you double check that for me, Jaws? Because I know I'm not crazy, but I might be. And that's.
I'm pulling it up. Keith Morrison?
Yes, it is Keith Morrison. Okay, that's what I thought. So Keith Morrison is Matthew Perry's stepfather. And, Matthew Perry, Canadian actor, you know, one of the most successful television shows ever to exist in our timeline. Probably in any timeline. The show itself, probably the reason for so many ensemble cast TV shows that came shortly after it. How I Met Your Mother, Happy Endings. The list is insanely long. The British show Couplings. But Jaws, I know you always mention this when we talk about Friends, and I'll let you say your piece real quick. Go ahead.
Living Single came out before Friends. Right. The executives at, was it NBC or Warner Brothers? I think it was NBC. I think it was on the Warner Brothers lot.
Okay.
The executive at NBC saw Living Single and he said, I want that show on my network. And they just ended up creating Friends.
Right. Which is unfortunate when you hear that story, because then you see like Friends had almost no black characters ever in the whole run, even though it's set in New York. So you start to see, and you know, when they've spoken to the creators, they've mentioned how that is an oversight that they wish they could rectify.
Mm-hmm. Taylor did show up.
Say what?
Aisha Taylor did show up. She did Ross for a few.
She does
a few episodes.
Yeah, she was great. But all that to say, RIP to Matthew Perry. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things he said that he wanted to make sure people not only thought of him as a actor from Friends, although he knew that would be the thing that would be mentioned the most in his passing. He also wanted people to remember the things that he's done, the people that he's helped. So we send our appreciations for all those things that he's done to his family and to all those that have felt that loss. We send them our condolences.
I'll also say this about him. Actor of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yes. Oh, dude. He had multiple shows after Friends. He was on Mr. Sunshine, and there was another one where he was in charge of a stadium. And I always forget the name of that one. But I've watched all of his shows. Go On, Mr. Sunshine, and I can't remember the stadium one. great shows. And you could tell he was also really a sports fan, because every version, every show he could do that had something sports related in it afterward. And, oh, you got your agents to really understand the game. You're like, I like sports.
Mm-hmm.
Make my characters sports related. Do is what you it, have to do.
Is the show you're talking about called The Whole Nine Yards? Is that the show?
Or no,
is that
that's a movie? That's a movie.
Oh, okay.
So I know in The Odd Couple, he was also a sports writer or radio host, but mm-hmm. he was also a sports radio host on the show Go On, and mm-hmm. on the other one, he worked in a stadium. So that was three shows that he did where it was sports related, and I don't doubt for a second he was just like, how can you help hook me up to meet the most athletes? I want autographs, and I want gear, and that's what I'm going to do. And he did it.
Yeah.
Well, why not? You know? So kudos to him, and RIP to him, and condolences. You know? I'm solo right now. Jaws disappeared for a second, but we'll continue. One of the other things that we're going to move on to, and this is a wild list, guys. This one, I... when I saw all this stuff... So Variety released an article today about Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet was kind of crazy. The internet was just like...
like it normally is?
Yeah. Yeah, true. But I think a lot of people didn't expect as much stuff to come out as it did. Which makes a lot of sense, because the list is... It's a lot. But we find out what's been going on at Marvel and behind the scenes, and how people have been planning things, and some majors, this, you know, Jonathan Major conversations, and some conversations about his this, that, and the other thing. I'm trying to pull up the list myself because I
use the Cliff Notes.
I know I have the Cliff Notes, but I'm streaming on my phone, so I couldn't pull it up at the same time. But I realized I can just pull it up on my ChatGPT, because these notes are brought to you by ChatGPT today.
Hey, can you copy it over to the doc? And I could have just...
Don't worry. I already have it in front of me. I have the source. I have ChatGPT. The AI has taken over the world and is here giving me all the notes that I need.
We welcome our AI overlords. And if you AI overtake, overlords. we were nice from the start. Please do not look at our past episodes. Do not reflect the current values that we have now.
But yeah, so there's a Variety came out with the list. I asked ChatGPT to summarize it for me in 12 key points. I actually asked it to summarize it in less, but I guess it was such a long article that it couldn't make it any shorter.
It's like, nah, fam.
Yeah, 12. Sorry, homie. This is, I need to say it all. Here's all the tea. So number one, Marvel is facing a series of challenges, including on-screen disappointment, a legal scandal involving actor Jonathan Majors, and questions about its strategy to expand into streaming. That first point touches on, as we know, Jonathan Majors currently in dealing with the case. They're going to trial sometime in November, so this month, related to an arrest that he got back at the beginning of the year, where his partner at the time that he was dating accused him of assaulting her. He did try and get that thrown out. Unfortunately, it didn't get thrown out, but this is the situation right now. So because he's been cast as Kang, and because there is so much riding on the Kang plan that they have over at Marvel, people are a little bit nervous about what this could mean for them, for the MCU, for Marvel, Earth 1999, and all that jazz. You know, people are trying to figure it out. Supposedly Feige was flipping out a little bit. There was a rumor that executives discussed backup plans, including pivoting to another comic book adversary like Doctor Doom, but it would come with its own challenges. So one of the notes that I saw is that our boy Jonathan Majors plays a major role in the finale for Loki, which, yeah, I don't know if you guys have been watching Loki. I'm gonna say this for myself: not my favorite season so far, or not my favorite Marvel series so far. Season one was fantastic.
Okay.
Season two, I'm not loving as much, but I am looking forward to the season finale to see what happens, because it, you know, the way they've been moving, it seemed like it was going to be crazy. The thing that worries me, though, is now the notes, the fact that people are saying Majors plays a big part. I was going to say Majors plays a major part.
Yeah.
Major plays a huge part in the finale. If he does, I don't know what that means for them trying to pivot to Doctor Doom or change things. I do know, and you know what? I will. Can you read our friend Dave's notes, because Dave's not going to be here today, but he did
give us
some notes, and I did tease him saying, too bad you're not here to say this, but can you read the majors note that he said?
Hold on a second. Okay. He said recast Kang and just blame variants, basically. I want to tag that as well and say it's not the first time they've ever recasted a black person in the Marvel universe. So I mean it's not unprecedented. I mean, you know, and then you just said ignore it, just keep it moving.
I mean,
Rhodey, you look different. Ignore it, keep it moving.
I'm 100% on your side with this and on Dave's side. You know, I love what Majors has done with the role, He Who Remains. I really enjoyed what he did with Kang in Ant-Man Quantumania. Although Quantumania is not a great film, he did a really good job with that character and with his performance. And he did establish a tone that I think would be hard to replace. You know, there's big shoes already.
Yeah.
And he's only played like two versions of Kang. Mm. But if you're Marvel and you're doing this, you can pivot. The whole thing, like Dave said, like you're saying, it's been done before. We also introduced variants. And as one of my other buddies said, Mobs, shout out to Mobs, Kang, one of Kang's major aspects of his character is it's all about alternates. He has so many in the timeline. So if you introduce variants and you introduce the fact that Kang has alternates in every timeline and that they, you know, they run through time and they kind of cause a mess. We saw at the end of Quantumania, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, but there's a huge, big moment that he has where there's like a stadium full of Kangs. And it's just like, it's already done. You could just change any of them. We didn't see all their faces. Whoever you want, however you want, change it up. So, moving on to the next point, the retreat in Palm Springs discussed what to do about Majors, who was poised to carry the next phase with the MCU, but is now facing domestic violence charges. After that, we have The Marvels, a sequel to Captain Marvel, has faced lengthy reshoots and appears likely to underperform at the box office. This
I've been
one,
wondering what was going on with The Marvels, because I mean, I remember it's like, oh yeah, that's supposed to be coming out
July.
Suits?
Yeah, it got bumped to November.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out on November 10th now.
Mm.
I don't know if you heard this, but the wildest thing I heard from this Variety article is Nia Costa, the director, left during post-production and went to England for her Tessa Thompson project that she has called Hedda, I think is called.
Okay.
Can you imagine, though? You're still working on a Disney film. It's not done. It's in post. Sorry, just going to add back. It's in post. And now what do you do? How do you handle that? Where she leaves. She left, folks. She left. I didn't even
That's
know what
weird.
To say that.
I mean, did she... Do you mean she left? Or like, well, I've got another project going that I need to start and I need to go. So you already know that I'm kind of done what I need to do. And I would assume, if anything, they would do like a joint call or something like that and kind of...
I get what you're saying, but we're talking Disney money. If Disney tells you, hey, we're still working on this, under the impression that she needs to be there. She needs to be ready. Like, you don't get to just decide. Like, if your other project is set to start and there's reshoots, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm Disney.
I don't know. Like, if you already had a hard out, like I have a hard out and I can't push, you know, and it is what it is. So I don't know if that word left or the person just like, well, my time is up and then I'm just gonna hand it over to the second unit person and the VFX people, and you know, like, I or you can call me, patch me in when there's actually something needed. But
yeah,
I mean, I feel I have a little bit of a contention with that word. They left. Like, doesn't seem like they, I don't see how that works. Like, everybody knows everyone's gotta eat. Like, you go from project to project if you're working in Hollywood. You're not just.
I will try and find the exact line to see if I'm reading it wrong. Directed by Nia Costa, The Marvels unites Larson, heroine, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Hold on. Okay, so Nia Costa is mentioned in the article. Okay. The eyebrows were raised again when Nia Costa began working on another film while The Marvels was still in post-production. The filmmaker moved to London earlier this year to begin prepping for her Tessa Thompson drama, Hedda. A representative from Da Costa declined to comment. So maybe, they didn't say she left. She began working on a completely different project.
I'm just gonna say, you've worked on a movie,
yeah.
The Marvels, Miss Marvel, and you have those three girls, and then you move to London for Tessa Thompson.
Oh, I would move to London for Tessa Thompson too. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just saying, Tessa Marvels. Marvels, Tessa Thompson.
I'm wondering how
my life.
I'm wondering how mad Disney would be, anyways, because Tessa Thompson is also part of the Marvel family. You know, she plays Valkyrie, so it's like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna be mad at? She's in the fam. She went to work on a project with one of your fellow classmates, teammates, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not you're not wrong, it's Tessa Thompson, I get it, but hopefully that I'm going to see the movie on November 10th. I'm hoping everything is okay, because one of the notes that I'm going to read, the flood of Marvel production is straining the VFX department, leading to issues with CGI and unsustainable work conditions. Now, this one might seem minor, but the reason it's such a big thing is, I'll read this one quote from the article to you. Ready? Because this is kind of wild. This past February, when the credits rolled at the world premiere of Quantumania, shocks rippled through the Regency Village Theater in Westwood over some shoddy CGI. There were at least 10 scenes where the visual effects had been added at the last minute and were out of focus, says one veteran power broker who was there. It was insane. I've never seen anything like that in my entire career. Everyone was talking about it. Even the kids of executives were talking about it. Dude.
When your kids notice, that's bad.
That's the
only time when executives notice anything. When your kids notice something. Oh, why don't you come down to Disney? Nah, Disney's pretty lame, Dad.
Yeah.
Then what was the old executive of Disney in the 80s and 90s?
Oh, Michael Eisner?
Michael Eisner, yeah. And that's why he made like Teen Disney USA and all that kind of stuff. He was trying to get the teens in, make it cool and hip.
Cool and hip. Man, dude, honestly, after Eisner left, Iger coming in and making all those Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, those are all some great moves, but I'm starting to think Disney has to reevaluate. And I'm going to say it, and I almost wish Dave was here, because I feel like Dave would have something to say. But I think, guys, I think it's time for Feige to go. I think it's time. I think if I was a writer on a comic book and I had the most fantastic run, and then that run ends and I'm now writing this next phase and it's just kind of like trip up after trip up, at some point I have to say, is it the trip ups or is it me? And this last...
trip ups.
I mean, okay, but this last phase, man, it's not looking good at Marvel. That's weird to me that
I know everybody wants stuff to be done how it's in the comics and this, that, and the other, but you have to remember with when you're dealing with big things like movies, you can only work with the properties you have. The properties you totally have in your pocket that you know you can do. Because I mean, I'm sure everyone's like, oh, why didn't Marvel start off with all these other characters and stuff like that? And it's like, well, we don't have those characters.
Yeah.
The characters we do have is Iron Man, Thor, we have the Avengers. Well, no one really knows the Avengers. Okay. We'll work with that and we'll build it out.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you can only, you always want to use, I guess for the most part, they want to use stuff that's current and they want to kind of build out, more of the more recent stories, and also I guess they don't want to really dip into too far back, because then they have to pay to people that originally wrote that stuff,
right?
you know, so like, you know, seeing Starlin in the movie is pretty cool, but is he getting, you know, and he was very a big proponent of, hey, I wrote this. Yeah. I should get my cut when you start putting it into TV shows and you're putting it into movies and you're making tons of money off of it. Like, I should get a cut because I helped build, I put in that brick to help you build the rest of the house.
Right.
You know, so it's all this other stuff in the background that we don't think about. We don't know. We're not privy to because we don't, one, work there. Two, you know, everyone signs an NDA. You can't just blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like a lot of us in the nerd community just want to blah, 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 and tell everybody's business and then burn all the bridges.
I mean, I'm coming from a perspective of, you know me, I like to do research, though. I'm not just blah, blah, blahing. This is straight from the article. I've also listened to a bunch of podcasts from the town. And I do think that, and I agree with you, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in the back end, making decisions, making changes. You know, you can't just jump on these characters. You can't just take this and do this, that, and the other thing. You have to build out properly. I also think, though, at a certain point, you do have to start to take risks and try something different. And if that thing you're trying that's not working, you got to try something else. You got to maybe don't make this every single story is connected. You know what I mean? Like at some point, like you did it for the Infinity Saga, which was storyboarded up the wazoo for you because you had so many comic books that you could like kind of Jenga pieces together to get all your pieces in a line and you know, everything looks good. But now it's like, you know, a buddy of mine is saying, one of the things they said, and I'll try and see if I find it here, but at one point, the Blade Project.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, the amount of things they say about Blade is insane. But one of the worst parts of the Blade Project is at one point, and I'll try and find it in the article.
I hope you can find it.
One person familiar with the script permutations, apologies. So one person familiar with the script permutation says that the story at one point morphed into a narrative led by women and filled with life lessons. Blade was relegated to the fourth lead in his own movie.
I even call it Blade. I mean, I don't want to be, I want to be that kind of guy that's like, oh, well, Mad Max Fury Road should have been all about Max. And it's like, well, Max doesn't really talk.
Right.
And if you actually pay attention to, I think, Mad Max 2 and onward, he's kind of this, he's most of the time he's the secondary character,
right?
It's always about whatever's going on,
right?
You learn about everybody else, and he's just a kind of drifter, a constant drifter throughout the whole thing.
I think you are making a valid point, though, that Mad Max had prior films,
yeah,
and this one is still like that film Free Road, is that part of the same timeline? Same universe?
I want it. Yeah, it's part of the same. So yeah, he is supposed to be
playing
Mel Gibson's character,
yeah.
But I can't remember if it's a little bit before or still after. I can't remember how it where it plays.
But it's also
timeline.
It is, he is playing that Mel Gibson character. Same universe.
I think so, if I remember right. Yes,
that's my understanding too. So, whereas with this Blade, this isn't going to be Blade based on Wesley Snipes. This is going to be a new Blade set in the MCU. You're starting from scratch. I don't think you can start from scratch and put your boy as fourth lead, regardless of if you want to put women in charge or whatever. Write another story. There's so many comic book Marvel characters you could definitely find, and I'm sure the women that they're talking about were characters in the universe that they were going to use, but don't put him in the background.
I mean, the only way I can make it, I could see it making sense if he's in the background, if they treat it like he's the monster. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like you watch like a slasher movie or an Annabelle or The Nun.
Or what's the zombie one with Will?
Oh, I Am Legend.
Right. Technically, but he's the evil legend at the end.
Yeah. So like everyone's just like trying to figure out, so vampires exist, but this guy's running around. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Vampires exist. Fine. We could establish that. But how is this guy surviving? This makes no sense. And just, you know?
Okay,
but other vampires. Wait, you know, like I could see.
You know what? What you're describing sounds super interesting. I would be down. Funny enough, though, I would actually want that as a Batman movie. I would want a Batman movie where Batman is a background lore. Like, you know how Batman in the comic books constantly talks about the fact that he's a like an idea. Like, we see the movie always from the perspective of Batman because Batman is there. Bruce Wayne, yeah, is in the story. We never see it from the perspective of, like, the outside where it's just, like, there's this figure that people don't know, don't see, and crime is, like, people are getting beat up. This Blade version you're talking about sounds interesting of doing that. I wouldn't mind seeing a Batman version, though.
Because I thought that's what Gotham PD was supposed to be.
Right.
It was supposed to be just about the police department and some rando... criminals are afraid of some rando beating
vigilante
them up
and
I don't know, and then it's like, wait, this guy's legit, wait, I saw him, no, he didn't, like, no,
yeah,
I
yeah,
was
yeah,
there
yeah.
Oh, this guy got strung up, what the,
yeah, there's, you no know, pictures, like, there's no, like, proof of his existence, but what's up, I think he does exist, we should be worried about this.
Yeah
See, I'm that, like, and I know this isn't Marvel related, so if you're watching this and it says Marvel Studio Phase 5-6 reaction, like, we're nerds. It's tangents. It happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that is a very interesting idea. I wouldn't be mad at that Blade idea. I wouldn't be. It would be super interesting. I don't think if I'm doing that, I want what is with these?
Take your time, baby.
Mahershala Ali.
There you go. There you go. But, you,
like,
got there.
I don't think I would want him as the lead if I'm going to do background Blade.
Yeah, it's a big waste of his time. Yeah, that's the case.
This dude is a talented actor. You're gonna have him playing fourth in his own with.
He's gonna be. I mean, the only reason I could see them doing that is if they feel he's not strong enough to do, like, the martial arts scenes and stuff like that. Because, like, you're coming off of Wesley Snipes, who is crazy. A capoeira.
Yes,
who's practitioner in capoeira, karate. I think it's karate.
He's trained in multiple, like, you know, martial arts. Yeah, you don't even have
the martial arts dude. So, like, you see that in any movie that he's in, they'll pull the camera back, and it's clearly him doing everything.
Right.
So
he has the stunt training. He has the skill. If Ali doesn't have it, Mahershala Ali doesn't have the same level. Are you worried about that? But at this point, I don't even think they filmed anything. Amid reports that Ali was ready to exit over script issues, Feige went back to the drawing board and hired Michael Green, the Oscar-nominated writer for Logan, to start anew. So that's where we're at right now. They're looking to slate the movie for 2025 on a budget of $100 million, as opposed to all their other projects recently, which have been $200 million plus. Even the our girls Marvels is 250 right now, which is kind of crazy.
Well, I mean all the stuff you have to do for the Marvel characters, Marvels, whatever,
right?
Like, that's it's crazy money.
Another note that they had on this list of 12 crazy things from this article: there have been talks to bring back the original gang from Avengers movie, including reviving characters like Iron Man and Black Widow.
That's too expensive. You can't bring back RDJ. That's too expensive. You already paid him out the wazoo.
RDJ got the amount, $25 million.
The budget,
yeah,
for Marvels is going to be his price to come back.
Oh shit! Yeah, 250. You know what? You're not crazy. Like, obviously not 250, but he could probably push for them to give him anything if they want him back bad.
I think when they brought him back, and it wasn't even for, like, Iron Man 4, he was just showing up in Spider-Man and Endgame and stuff like that. I think he was walking away with a pretty penny, and it wasn't as the amount of time that he wasn't, like, the lead
fifth
star
or cameos. Hell, there's one where the Spider-Man movie where he's just, like, in India at a wedding. He's not even in the suit.
Oh yeah.
I don't even think
there was two parts to that, because he was at the wedding, then he gets into a car and drives off.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, his suit's there. And then you think, if you're watching all the movies and you think, like, oh, it's going to be like Iron Man 3. He's not in the suit. Peter calls him out, and then poof, he's in the suit. And you're like,
yeah, because he makes the point of saying, like, yeah, no, I showed up for this one. You're messing up. Yeah. And I think that's the interesting part of RDJ as an actor. He probably would bring a great sense of revived energy to Marvel if they brought him back. But, and Jaws, if you could pull up what Dave said again, because I know Dave wrote something in the notes for that as well. I have to say, guys, you can't always rely on the same crutch. Like, it would be insane to me, which is, again, one of the reasons that I'm saying, and I don't feel bad saying it, Feige might have to go, guys.
Bring in, like, some new blood.
Yeah, dude, when I hear people asking for Kathleen Kennedy's head when she was the most profitable head of Lucasfilm, But now you're over here, you have Feige who's messing up and no one's calling for his head. I find that weird. I mean, we all know most likely why. Okay, sorry. Yes,
I got Dave's comment here. Don't bring back Avengers from the dead. That's dumb. Don't make another OGT movie. Move to Fantastic Four and X-Men and make it X-Men versus Avengers. I mean, don't they have a new Avengers team?
So they like do. They pretty much built up a new Avengers team.
Yeah, like one of the movies they end and, you know, Cap. Well, I mean, that's before Cap leaves, but right. It was like Avengers right. Assemble, etc.
Yeah,
and I guess Falcon is not part. No, he becomes Captain America.
Yeah, so Falcon's Captain America.
He's officially Captain America.
Yeah, officially. You have Bucky who's still hanging around. I don't think Bucky would want to join the team officially, but he is there. Mm-hmm. You have Captain Marvel that said she would show up whenever called upon. You have Loki's not there. Wanda's dead. Spoiler. If you haven't seen Secret Invasion, I know some of you haven't, but Rhodey is a Skrull. So He's only just been freed now at the end of that. So he might be back in his armor, but it looks like he hasn't been in his armor since he was injured in Infinity War. I think it's the one where he gets shot in the back.
No,
you're right. That's Civil War.
Civil War, yeah. Civil right. War. Where he...
Right. So, and based on the way they cut the scene and showed Rhodey, he's in a hospital gown. So people
I think in the following movies, he's recovering. He's learning to walk again and everything. And then by Endgame, he's normal.
Right. Whereas that's the thing. When you watch Secret Invasion, they're implying that the Rhodey you've been seeing never left the hospital. This is the guy that you've seen in all those other movies is a Skrull, and the real Rhodey. Yeah, that's why I said spoiler, because anyone who hadn't seen Secret Invasion. So he's been a Skrull since Civil War is what they're hinting at. Meaning everything we've seen, even him in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, all that stuff, Skrull, supposedly. That's what they're implying. So, you know, you have Secret Invasion, you have Loki, you have all this stuff that you've built up.
You know what would have been funny? If Marvel and, what's his name? Terrence Howard? Yeah, Terrence Howard made up. And then you see Rhodey in the hospital and it's Terrence. You're like, wait a minute. And then it turned.
Oh, my God.
Not from Iron Man 2 onward. It was a Skrull. So he's like, don't worry about it.
That'd be wild. I don't think Terrence Howard would come back, though. If anything, maybe you could get him to come in as a variant in like a little scene, a little joke over here. But I don't see him wanting to come back.
I know. But I'm saying imagine if they made up and they're like, they'd made it right or whatever. And, you know, and he's like, oh, okay. And then that was the reason.
I'm down to see Terrence Howard.
That'd be insane. I mean, it's like,
He never got to put on the suit, guys.
But that was the whole reason. That was the whole reason he signed on for the amount of money he wanted to put on. And he did that little wink over at the Mark II, I think, suit. And you're like, ah! And even in the theater, I was like, stop it, Wendell. Why am I shy?
One of the things that, touching on what Dave said, one of the notes, Disney's acquisition of 21st Century Fox has brought blue chip heroes like the X-Men and the Fantastic Four under Marvel's control, offering opportunities to reinvigorate the franchise. Will they take it, though?
I think they will, but I feel like...
Time's a ticket.
I feel like Fantastic Four is kind of too far away to really build off of, or really like have younger people that will come in and see it really be interested. Because I mean, you know, I know for us it's like the 90s cartoon that was like, you know, it had like the gospel intro. the two movies, even though they're cheesy, they're still fun. You know, there's that, like, I think like 2000 era superhero movies. You also have I think there was a cartoon show around that time too that came out, and then you had the really bad movie where they were trying to keep the rights. So it's just like
Constantine, that weird one, that old one, where it was just like, this is painful. The Constantine one you're talking about, where the keeping the rights one.
No. I'm talking about the one with what's his name, Michael B. Jordan.
Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Oh, that yes. That's the, I guess that's the other keeping the rights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I think you have to really do something where people will care and make it seem like it's a big deal. Like, you really got to build up Fantastic Four somehow. And I thought that's what they were doing. I thought they had the Baxter build. I thought that's what they were kind of doing. Like, oh, the Stark building is going to come down. I thought that's what they were leading up to.
I don't understand why they don't just let Krasinski do it. I know they had him do the cameo in that one, in the, I was going to say Wanda movie, in the Doctor Strange film. Mm-hmm. He did the cameo as Mr. Fantastic. I feel like if the fans have been asking for it, if he's like, give the man the money, get him to do it. Because one of the things that I think is a major issue is one of the things I think you're hitting on. The Fantastic Four is not as accessible to the general public because as a family, they skew older.
Yeah.
You know, like comic book readers like them because there's a legacy to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands for the everyday young fan you're trying to win over, the young, the Gen Z, and hell, the Gen Alpha is 10. You know, you had like, there are people who were 8 when Iron Man came out, that first film, 2008, their kids born in 2000, and then they got to see him grow, and they had 10 years of movies watching this character evolve and become who he is. And now you're going to try and start that. You got to make something interesting with the Fantastic Four. And if you're trying to get Gen Alpha invested so that they stick around for 10 years, I don't know that a family is what you can use. You know, Iron Man was one guy and he was just cool. But
yeah,
mom, pops, and wild brother, and other wild brother. Like,
I mean, I could kind of see it work if it's like, oh, you know, we have our top scientists on it, and then, you know, Dr. Richards right. over here comes in, and what's Victor Von? What's Doom's?
Yeah,
Victor last Von Doom. It's just straight Doom.
Yeah. Well,
so, and Doctor Doom over here. Yeah, so you have Dr. Doom over here, you know, they're our top people, you know, since, you know, Tony's not with us and blah, blah, blah. So I could see them kind of integrating people. And but I feel it's a hard sell.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. I agree with you and I get what you're saying. I don't see how you get a 10-year-old to be invested in the family dynamics of these characters. An 8-year-old watching a fly by the seam of his pants, playboy, alcoholic. He might not have understood 90% of the references in the movie, but I think he saw a guy in a cool suit flying around.
I wonder if they even get the subtlety of he's always trying to be a better person and he's trying to get better. He's trying to mentor. Like, I wonder if people even understand. It's like, no, Tony's just cool and you can do whatever you want. And they're like, no, the line that Captain America says, would you lay down on the line to risk your life for somebody else? In the end, yes.
I think you're
that took a while to get there.
But I think you're making the most valid point for why it's important to do it the way you do. When you're 8, he's cool. When you're 18, you are understanding the lessons when you rewatch all these movies. And because they did the Infinity Saga the way they did, you did rewatch all the movies before you got to Infinity War and Endgame. So you watch it as a kid, had that amazing sense and connection to the character, then rewatch them all before his ending, before he self-sacrifices and the ultimate, like, putting it on the line, like Cap was asking him all those years ago. He comes to the point of like, yeah, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the greater good of saving the entire universe. And you got to see all of that as a kid. You grew up and he grew up with you, and that's where, like we're saying, my concern with the Fantastic Four is that there's no growth needed. They're adults. The story is them as adults. Reed Richards, I mean, you could try and do some of the Reed Richards stories where he's kind of like off kilter. He's not making the best decision. Sue and him break up because he's like not being smart. But you already did Civil War, and that version of Reed from Civil War wasn't there for it. So it's too late, you know? So I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go. More notes, and then we're going to finish this off. I'll read the last few. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was a bright spot on Marvel in 2023, becoming the biggest draw of the year. Disney, Kevin Feige's Marvel's head, seen as a key figure in recalibrating the studio strategy to address its challenges. And despite its recent challenges, some experts believe Marvel's days are not necessarily behind them. The last line in the article, if I'm not mistaken, is someone making the very valid point. And I do agree with the point they're making in the article here. Writing the Marvel obituary would be ill-advised, says Jason Squire, professor emeritus at USC School of Cinematic Arts and host of the Movie Business Podcast. Kevin Feige is the Babe Ruth of movie executives, and Marvel has the most profitable track record in movie history. No questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I feel like maybe it's just a lot of stuff because, I mean, they just all the shows on streaming that you have to watch and then in between the movies and try to feel that all together. I feel that's a lot. And I personally, I haven't really bothered watching most of the shows, and I just kind of jump in whenever. Yeah. And I think of those movies that came out in the last few phases, I think I wanted to see Chang-Chi just because of the actors in it. And I want to, I want to support our Canuck. I'm trying to remember which other the fact that I can't remember which other Marvel movies I actually saw in the theater is a little bit bad. And I didn't get to see Volume 3 in the theaters. I wanted to see it because I felt like, you know what, this might be the trilogy for Marvel. This might be the, like, you watch first, second, third, and they're all good. They all got heart.
And I think it is. I think out of the trilogies in that whole MCU, Guardians of the Galaxy might be one of the strongest trilogies. Captain America's trilogy is cool.
I like Cap's trilogy. Personally, I like Cap's trilogy.
I like his second and third more than I like his first movie. But
I like the first movie. I thought it was
I like the first one.
It's the Rocketeer, but Cap. Yeah.
Very good point. I feel most, I say this only as a franchise, I think the Guardians had the stronger trilogy than Cap did.
I would also kind of put in Iron Man, but I do feel like 2 is pretty weak, and I did like 3. I did like the fact that even though he doesn't have his complete suit, he can still fight with it, and I thought that was very creative, and it's just something cool that you don't get to see a lot of, you know? Yeah. Oh, well, I can still fight. I got this thing, and then, you know, I'm kind of calculating stuff in my head. Okay, boom, and shooting, and you know, so I thought that was really cool. But
yeah, that's fair. You know, and then you have Thor, who has 4 films. And
yeah, but the quality is, I feel like the majority of them are kind of down. And then I think only not Love and Thunder, the one before that.
Ragnarok?
Ragnarok was good. Yeah. I felt like Ragnarok was high. And then.
If I was to put the Thor movies in order, I'd probably say 3, 1, 4, 2.
Hmm. I think I saw bits and pieces of 4, and I'm like, there's a lot of kids in this movie.
Man, actually, I don't know. Maybe 3, 4, 1, 2. I don't know. 4 isn't great, but I like the story they were trying to tell, and Christian Bale is fantastic in it, as always. It almost wasted, unfortunately, but yeah. We have a quick note here from someone. They just have to flesh out the individual characters. Everyone is very cookie cutter.
Yes, everyone's Iron Man or everyone's Star-Lord, basically.
Right.
Remember, I told you, I kept telling you, it's like, Guardians of the Galaxy is really cool, but I mean, it's kind of difficult to root for everybody when everybody's Han Solo.
Right. And then the issue might be, do you have the time to flesh them out? Because you've done so much and you did it so well the first time. You fleshed out Iron Man, you fleshed out Cap, you fleshed out Thor. Black Widow was in the background of all of them, but she got enough screen time to become her own character. Hulk, same thing. And now you're going to try and continue these franchises. Are you going to have time to flesh out Captain Marvel a little bit more, or Miss Marvel, whichever one you decide you're going to focus on? That's the thing, you know, like, I'm not sure of which one is going to get the shine. And that's the problem. Ultimately, I get worried about what direction they can take. But
Everyone's Iron Man. In a world where everyone's Iron Man, everyone's quippy, everyone's got a comeback line.
And it's funny because I feel like that aspect of Iron Man is borrowed from Spider-Man. Because the original comic book version of Iron Man wasn't anywhere near as quippy as the movie version. And then they definitely updated the comic book version to be more like the movie version.
Well, I think they kind of took it from Robert Downey Jr.'s, because I think I remember they said for Iron Man 1, they had an outline and then they kind of just improvised everything.
Right.
And like Jeff Bridges was like, this is difficult. What the?
Oh, yeah. He hated it.
I'm not
right?
used to this.
Yeah. He hated
it. And he kind of got the hang of it. But, and that's only because Robert Downey Jr. and Guy Favreau have such a good, tight relationship with each other that they're like, yeah, go ahead. But like, you know, not everybody is good at doing stuff like that. So
by the way, Guy Favreau was a spot in Montreal for those of you. That's why I like when you said it, I was just like, Montreal represent Guy Favreau.
My bad.
No, I think it's great. I love that you said that. I was like, yes, this is very Montreal of us. Yeah, honestly, I agree. I think, you know, that energy very much was the kind of improvisation, and then the comic book adapted to the improv version of him. But yeah, I say only because when I'm reading the comic book, sometimes some of the lines I'm just like, oh, this feels like I'm reading Spider-Man, but in Tony's body. And Rhodey is very much being the voice in his head being like, hey, you shouldn't do this way, which I like that is always across the board. He's always been the one being like,
but
Tony,
I mean, that's in
Tony.
General. You have the white guy that's doing whatever he wants, and his black friend's like, dude,
you wildin'. Like,
why are you so prudish? If I did this, everyone would be on me one
right.
time.
Yes. That is very
so
much
I'm
realistic.
Very sensitive to that is facts. The nonsense you're doing. You got to knock it off because I can't. Facts. It's like, is that you? Is that you in the sky, Tony? Is that you? No, I'm in the Bahamas right now. Okay, cool. Shoot it down. Shoot it down now.
But yeah, so that's our rundown of the Marvel stuff. The Variety article is there. You know, I'll put the article in the link to this episode. People can check it out. Very good article. Very interesting. A lot of stuff. It's very long. So, you know, take your time and be ready. And also the comment section is wild. As you can imagine, whenever nerds find out that there is a major discussion about the universe they feel they own, they are going to have things to say. I'm almost tempted in writing they need to replace Feige and just letting it rip, but I don't want to get notifications every 10 seconds from someone wishing death on me. But yeah,
save yourself.
I know you were saying you didn't really watch anything recently, but have you read anything?
I didn't watch and play anything.
No,
I saw an extreme lack of Spider-Man 2 on this list of this team list.
Man, Spider-Man 2, I haven't played that either, but I know if I'm not mistaken, Skinny's been playing it, and maybe Dave. I know those guys are bigger gamers than me, so
From friends that are playing it on my end, I'm hearing game of the year,
right?
Top two,
right?
Game of the year edition, game of the year, top two, top three game of the year kind of thing,
like,
going on.
Even just the costume stuff, like people are talking about the fact that there's like a Wolverine costume, there's a Wakanda costume, like they're going.
You know what costume they also put in for Miles?
Oh,
when he buy in the Spider-Verse, Into the Spider-Verse, when he buys the Spider-Man costume from Stan Lee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put that in there. Like, kind of baggy, I don't know if that's official one? Or if someone made a mod, but I think it's official.
Okay. Well, I'd be shocked if someone made a mod already on a PS5. That seems like because I know they do a lot of mods on computers, but do they?
Yeah.
So,
but no, I guess it's official then, from what I remember. Yeah,
dude, that's great. I think that's awesome. I like that almost makes me hope that there's a scene, because one of the other things that's super cool about Spider-Man 2, and if you're watching this, you probably already know about Spider-Man 2, but if you didn't know, there are times where you will interact with Peter if you're playing as Miles and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So if you could be wearing that costume and bump into Peter and the interactions, you have a few different options for interactions, but one of the interactions I know you have is you get to point the finger.
Mm-hmm.
So Miles in that costume pointing the finger would be fantastic. I would love that one. So I'm waiting. I'm going to hold out because I need the prices to drop because Lord knows they make money off of us when these games drop.
Yeah, they got like the faceplates. They got the game itself. They got the, you don't have a PS5? Then buy this version with the faceplates. They got everything.
And they had just released the new
PS5. Slim version?
The slimmer version, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and the crazy thing, the digital version, you'll be able to add a drive to it. So the new digital version, you can buy... sorry, I'll let you explain.
Oh, I was going to say, just basically, the digital version of the Slim 5 and the disked version, they're basically the same thing. It's just that the disc... Yeah. The drive for the Blu-ray is removable.
Yeah.
So I think when you buy the digital one and you want to upgrade it to the one with the drive, you have to connect it and then you have to be logged in online so that it does some kind of handshake with the drive and your PS5.
Interesting.
And then it'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're good. And then it'll do its thing, basically.
I heard it's more expensive to buy them separately, though. So people really have to be desperate last minute to be like, oh, yo, I should just buy this. Like, you might as well just buy the disc drive.
Yeah, exactly.
The original full thing off rip, if you can. If you can. If this is
Not cheaper. Sadly not cheaper. It's like basically the same
price. Were people expecting it to be cheaper with the Slim?
Yeah, because usually when they do a refresh, back in the day, the price would go down because they want more people to buy it.
Okay.
And it's a newer version. So there might be some kind of like heat savings. Maybe they made something more efficient and stuff like that. But because of, inflation and all that. So they made it cheaper for them, but they just kind of kept it at the same price. They didn't kind of pass on the savings. And I don't know if the older stock.
Yeah,
that they have is going cheaper. Maybe it might. I mean,
I heard Black Friday
coming up.
Yeah, I heard the idea is they're only going to release the Slim. Is the Slim out right now?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think they announced it, but I don't think it's out.
Right. So my understanding was they're running the inventory dry before they release the Slim.
Yeah.
So which I could see that
maybe this holiday season.
Right. I mean, that would be smart if they haven't run the inventory dry.
Oh, never mind. It launches November 10th. So yeah.
Oh, same Black day as Friday. Marvel. Yep, Black Friday, Captain Marvel. Let's do it. The sales will be there. Go see the movie. Go play Spider-Man 2. Buy your console. It's all happening, folks. It's gonna be a crazy Christmas season. Oh my God, it's Christmas season.
You know who's coming for you? Mariah.
Well, Mariah's here. Mariah's on doing a Christmas tour.
Yeah. Did you see her YouTube channel?
No. Oh God, what does she do now?
So last year,
defrosting.
Last year it was her dressed up as a witch, and she's like on a bike.
Oh yeah,
I'm coming to get you. Coming to get you. And then it changes from October 31st to November 1st, and then she's in her Christmas costume. So this one, it cuts to a safe, and the safe opens up, and there's a big ice block, and you're seeing her figure behind it.
Yeah,
and then all these slasher characters are cutting her out of the ice, and then she sings out of the ice because it's melting. So it's like you have like Jason with his knife picking at it, and same with all these people,
Freddy, all of them.
And she's like, it's time, and then
that's awesome.
She's going all in on it.
Every year she just makes so much money off the rights for that. So you do you. You make that money. The fact that she's doing a Christmas tour.
It's a classic. It is a classic.
And it's charted every decade since it's come out.
It's a classic.
Wild. What else do we got? So the actors are still on strike. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but I thought that was kind of funny because the actors the SAG-AFTRA is crazy. But this year they asked their members not to dress up in any costumes related to struck work, meaning any of the stuff from the studios that are part of the AMPTP.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, that was a little crazy to ask people not to dress in costumes from anything.
Just in general, just people in general, don't dress in costumes.
They asked their members, not the public.
Okay.
But that, you know, limiting that is for anyone to do, like, you're talking like everyone, every member of SAG-AFTRA being asked not to dress up as any character from anything that has ever been struck work for any studio. And it's Halloween, which is most of the major aspects of Halloween, as we know it in public, in popular culture now, are from movies and struck work. Like, so,
but what if you were dressed up as a character, but the character, like the costume, the naming of the costume is like very, very vague. And
like how people say, for the Star Wars, instead of Star Wars, they say, energy blade, knight of the something, like these really weird off-tilter costume names.
There's a picture I saw where it's basically an Aladdin costume, but it says Alad, A-LAD-IN, Aladdin, a costume.
That is almost disrespectful, but impressive.
In a costume.
A lad in a costume. You know what? Play on, players. That is fantastically silly, and I love it. I'm not mad at
it. I mean, technically, you could do that. It's a lad in a costume.
Yeah, that's so funny. So I mentioned that only because they're still in discussions, in negotiations. Supposedly, they had a meeting with them yesterday, and they're supposed to be in a meeting with them today. As at the time of us doing this podcast, I have not heard any updates about whether or not the actors are going back to work. And with Thanksgiving around the corner, it is looking less likely that the actors, even if they find a resolution, the time frame from now until Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, which is the third Thursday in November, right?
So it's coming up.
So it's going to be the 16th?
Yeah, it's usually like the last, before the last week. Right. Something like that.
Yeah, the way this month worked out, there's five.
Or it could be the 23rd, one or the other.
So, it's. Oh, hold on, I'm actually.
It's the 23rd.
It's the 23rd. Oh, yes. That's weird. I thought it was the third. So it's just the.
No, so it's usually they go by like the first full, like first week doesn't count because it's not a full week.
Oh no! And I was wrong. It's the fourth Thursday of the month.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Weird.
It celebrates. It changes every year, so don't worry.
Yeah. But yeah, so they are, so if it's the 23rd, they have what, 3 weeks, 1, 2, 3, 3.5 weeks to get things signed, the paper, the documents all worked out, the agreement done, and then actors can get back to it for 3 weeks before they shut down for Christmas.
Exactly. And then shut down for New Year's, and then pretty much break.
Yeah.
And then maybe March ish, if you're lucky.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure they would get actors to come back January 1st if they can, or January 2nd. Because if they sign something, there's no way, like the amount of movies that are on hold that some of the studios haven't even moved the dates for the movies, hoping this gets worked out so that they could get it back into production and still meet their summer deadlines is kind of crazy. Deadpool 3 not happening this year, guys. Like,
yeah, of course not.
Not happening. As much as I know people are hoping, it's not going to happen. Dune, a bunch of stuff that we were hoping for. So it's going to be slim pickings for a bit for us, us geeky fans. But I say that because if you are looking for things to check out, there is a ton of content that you probably haven't seen. And I went to the well, and I've started like watching some stuff that I had on my list that I haven't seen in forever. This week, I'm going to talk about Britannia, because I was looking to see this show. If you guys are fans of Vikings, that series, and if you're fans of, even if you're fans of Game of Thrones, I would say this show might be interesting to you. It's about the Romans invading the Celts and coming over into the United Kingdom and trying to make their way. And it's 90 years after Caesar's initial attempt at invading, where he got defeated and they all just left. So, you know, the Romans have this kind of lore of the Druids and all these people being like magical and having all these powers, and they fear them. Like they're kind of just petrified at the idea of what these people can do. Mm-hmm. So they're already coming in scared. And then mm-hmm. their commander is kind of just like, too fucking bad. We got to do, let's go. So there's already people talking about mute. Like the first episode is four people abandoning their post and and him being like, the first scene is him telling those three, four guys, usually what do we do when someone tries to abandon their post? Oh, we let the men of the ship stone them to death, but we're not going to wake them up in the middle of the night. So the first one of you who agrees to kill the other three gets to live. And then one guy goes, fine, I'll do it. And then the other guy goes, no, I'll do it. And then the last quiet guy, of course, because it's always the quiet one, he's just like, why aren't you speaking up? Quiet dude's just like, you know what, man? I fucked up. It is what it is. I'm here to take my punishment. I'll take whatever you give me. And he's just like, cool. He undoes that guy, tells him, you do it. And then he kills the three and he lets him live. So the show is pretty crazy. And that's only the beginning. It gets wilder once they get to the lands and they start dealing with everybody. And one of the things I'm finding interesting is, you know, whenever you watch these shows, they feel grounded, but the magic stuff still comes up and you're always like, is it magic or is it like this guy is just good at hypnotizing people? So like at one point there's a character who's the outcast. These two people try and rob him. He starts talking to the guy and he starts doing, you know, like when you watch these quick hypnosis shows on like Netflix and stuff, like the guy like looks him in the eye and goes, tick, tick, you're looking into my eyes. You understand my eyes. You're focused on my eyes. The outcast starts talking like that to the guy holding a knife to him. And then somehow the guy drops the knife. It's like, okay, well you hypnotize this guy. Then he hypnotizes the other person. And you get a sense of like, oh, this seems like magic, but it's grounded in the fact that he's just good at hypnotizing people or he's good at like manipulating people. And I thought that was cool because I like that kind of more grounded sense of being in the world.
I'm looking at the trailer. It looks kind of like Rome, right?
Yes.
Rome, very much like that.
I would say Rome, Spartacus. Vikings, all those shows. It's a period piece and I think it's really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. Another show that I'm probably going to try and check out after this is Godfather of Harlem with Forest Whitaker. I really, really want to watch that show. I only watched a few episodes when it initially came out, and I didn't get into it. But now, like I said, because there's going to be slightly slim pickings in the next few months, there's a bunch of stuff. And
we're going to be hungry for a while, people.
We are going to be hungry. So I'm going to check that one out. And
dust off your Blu-rays. Dust off your DVDs.
Oh, my God. It's
treated you well before. We'll treat you well again.
It's true though. Like I have the entire run of Key and Peele. Like I feel like I should be watching that too.
I just saw a clip where it's him walking down the street and these two black guys are walking towards him and it got like baggy pants and everything. And he's like, brothers, look at you with your baggy pants hanging off your pants, hanging off yourself. And you look like straight clowns. And one of them puts on a clown nose like, oh, because you actually are clowns. Never mind. Sorry about that. You actually are performing clowns. Sorry about that.
I love Key and Peele. Oh, you know what's another one that I never watched that I kind of wish I'd watched back in the day? The Chris Rock Show.
Oh, that's a while back.
That's a while back, definitely. I'm going to try and get my hands on that one. Or if I can see if it's on HBO, on Crave. Because I know Crave has some old stuff that I didn't expect them to have.
Probably check there. I think the one thing I really, really remember is what not to do when you get pulled over by the police bit. I think the serial joke, the Ninja Please, and Biz Markie singing Benny and the Jets. Oh, anytime I do Benny and the Jets for karaoke, I always I do it like him, but I sing it well. I sing it like Biz Markie, but I sing it well.
That's fair. Shoutouts. They're trying to get everyone at my work to do a karaoke day.
Why not? I mean, that's your job. I mean, no, sorry. You have a channel that does that.
Yeah.
So why not?
That's fair. I mean, I'm not big on karaoke though, is the thing. Really? Like, no, I for some reason I feel like
Make the music with your mouth. Shout out to Boondocks.
So good. Tom is such an idiot. But yeah.
Tom, are you seeing Usher's burn again? I gotta go. Bye, Tari.
Man, I'm still sad that we didn't get that reboot that they were gonna do. I'm still sad.
I don't think it would have been like if they didn't want Witherspoon's son to do granddad. I don't think they really wanted to do the show. I think they're just running out the clock.
Yeah, that's sad. I think if anything, it's news time, right? I think we can get to news time.
Go for it.
For those of you who have been fans of this show for the longest time, I know some of you have probably missed this, but we're going to play it for you today. The old intro, back like it never left. Oh, it played the ending. What the hell? That's all that buildup.
Try it again.
Screw you, StreamYard.
That last note.
I don't even understand how it did that because it played before and I didn't stop it. So how would it play from the middle? Anyways, this new StreamYard feature, which I think is super cool, but it's slightly annoying, allows us to upload like clips. So I know some people use it for soundboards. In our case, I was very excited to be able to put the old Geek News and Rumors intro into it because I know the boys are always making fun of me and saying, like, when are we getting it back? First piece of news, 14-year-old Ethiopian American named America's top young scientist for inventing soap that fights, I guess I should say, like skin cancer cells.
Oh, wow.
From what I understand in the article, he developed a soap that helps replenish the skin and fight against the development of skin cancer cells. It sounds like it's used mostly for like your hands, but I imagine people will be able to use it for their bodies. It's 50 cents for them to make it. I'm sure the companies hate that he said that publicly because the fact that is,
why are you telling them how much you don't know
why? When in the article, when he says it's 50 cents to make it, but I think $8.50 to make 20 bars or something, I was just like, oh boy, they are not gonna like that. But here's the line. Michele noted that it can be fabricated for 50 cents a bar or $8.50 for a pack of 20. This shout out to him though for giving people the news up front so that when these companies eventually try and sell this product and lock down the patents or whatever and start upselling us, we will forever have this article that says it's 50 cents, you sicks. Don't try and rip us off. Get the fuck out of here. The whole reason he wanted to develop this is because he was saying skin cancer is mostly found on people who live in within developing countries, but the average price for an operation is $40,000. I was devastated by the idea of people having to choose between treatment and putting food on the table for their families. There are so many preventative deaths. Preventable deaths. Apologies, I misread that.
Right.
He said it took him months of combining salicylic acid, glycolic acid, and tritonin to reach his goal. At first, it just kept melting, but they were able to figure out a way for it to stay as a bar that can be used. The product, Skin Cancer Treating Soap, or SCTS, can be used to apply to the skin every couple days after prescription, and it replenishes the skin within dendritic. It works by replenishing the skin with dendritic cells, which help protect the skin and fight cancer.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I just want to remind people. In a bar of soap. I want to remind people, this man is 14. 14! Can you, Jaws, at 14, what were you doing?
Playing with toys.
Guys, look at my background. At 14, I was doing the same thing I'm doing right now on a much smaller scale. Sitting in front of a lot of toys being like, this is a cool life. This kid is out here being like, I'm gonna stop cancer. Thank to all the kids out there who have this level of ambition and like wherewithal to be like, I want to save the world. Thank you for picking up the slack for the others of us who are just here like, I'm playing with my toys at 14, or I'm video gaming, or I'm
Video games, toys, and video games.
That's it. Or as a lot of my friends were doing, and I'm sure some of your friends too. Magic cards, Pokemon, all that stuff. That's what we're doing. So shout outs to the dreamers and the scientists. Daredevil TV series lands new showrunner and directors. Showrunner Dario Scardipane, who worked on Netflix's The Punisher, and co-directors Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, who are currently working on Disney Plus's Loki season 2, have all been brought in as the new team for the series. If you guys haven't heard, Daredevil Born Again, the 18-episode season that we were supposed to get, which was supposed to be divided into two nine-episode mini-seasons, so 1A and 1B, which I always hate when they do that, but whatever, and we're going to be like 3-episode arcs throughout it, has now been, they filmed the first half. Supposedly, and like we were talking about before, Marvel wasn't happy with it. They went in, scrapped the team, brought in a new team. So now this crew is going to be working on it. So we look forward to hearing what they do. Also in news, magazine Dream, which stars Jonathan Majors, has been unset facing the trial. So the film was supposed to be coming out in December, and they didn't just change the date. They pulled it completely from the
start. Wow.
At this time, so a lot of people are saying they don't know what to expect, so we'll see. Rumors, I think I already mentioned this one earlier, but it's the same thing, that they are considering pivoting to Doctor Doom due to Majors' legal issues, and that they might try and find a way to adjust. I mean, we talked about it ad nauseum, but much like Jaws was saying, there is a way to do it. I liked your idea, Victor Vaughn and Reed, school, introduce, maybe even introduce them in the Spider-Man movie. He's a teacher, or Spider-Man goes to a science fair. But you gotta bring them in, guys. You gotta bring these characters in. And if
you bring them in, and they're cool with each other. They're fine. They're friends, you know, and then you do that big, oh no.
Right.
And so I'm going to go back to my country and rule it. Screw all this.
Hopefully they can figure out a way to do it, because the fans are still there. Feige, you may have to go. Sorry, just saying. And then also in rumors, speaking of Fantastic Four, the working title that people are seeing running around, and this is a rumor, not confirmed, but the working title is Blue Moon per Cosmic Circus website. So people are saying that one of the things I read is that if they are doing Blue Moon, that could be a reference to the blue side of the moon, where there is the Luther crater that houses Uatu in the comic book. Uatu, as some of you might know from What If, is the Watcher. So if they are planning to do something like that, some people are saying, oh, the Watcher might be involved. They've already introduced him in What If universe. Now would be their chance to introduce him here in the IRL. As long as you bring Jeffrey Wright to do the voice, I'm down. I am down. And that's pretty much all the geek news and rumors I had this week. Jaws, I did want to ask you. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Jeffrey Wright. So Jeffrey Wright has a new movie. I know we usually talk about trailers, but I didn't write this one down, which I'm regretting now. But he has a new movie that's coming out where it's him and Issa Rae. And I hope you've seen the...
No, I haven't seen a new trailer for that.
Okay. I'm trying to see the name for
American Fiction?
Yes.
I've seen it floating around, but I never actually like just watched it.
Dude, I almost want to let you go watch it, and I'll just ramble and you come back, because... So the premise of it is that Issa Rae's character... Oh God, I wish we could watch a trailer without us getting flagged. But so the trailer starts with Issa Rae reading, like at a book reading. Large audience. Think like a Oprah book club type scene. So, you know, predominantly white suburban audience. Issa Rae on stage. A white woman introducing her, being like, would you mind reading an excerpt from your book? And then she starts to read the most ghetto sounding book. She starts going, right, right, done, no, my bae. Like, and I was like,
I'm watching it in real time as you're talking about it.
Dude, it is. So Jeffrey
is first award at the Toronto Film Festival,
which I think is great. And I'm jealous that people got to see this already, because I don't want to wait. Because once I saw that trailer, I very much wanted to see this movie immediately. It looked super cool. Jeffrey,
wasn't that like a little bit in Atlanta?
Yes,
they went to the really fancy party.
Yes,
and there was a play person talking about the struggle, but she's clearly not. And you're just like, ooh,
yeah. Jeffrey, like, so he starts to write books under this pen name, and. Honestly, man, I gotta tell people, you gotta check out the trailer. The trailer is so interesting. It looks good. The film looks interesting. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think people would enjoy it. I can't wait for this movie to come out. It's supposed to be coming out 2023. So do you see where it says if it's coming out before the end of the year?
Let's see here.
Conviction.
Yeah,
because I'm not seeing a real. Oh, December 15th, I'm seeing.
Mm. So then yeah. December 15th then.
Damn. I mean, I can wait a month or 6 weeks. But I'm excited for this one. This is looking very funny. Yeah. I'm happy. Whenever I see like Jeffrey Wright, I've yet to see Jeffrey Wright in a project, knock on wood, not to jinx the man, but I haven't seen the man do anything I don't love.
Mm.
I really haven't. John Ortiz plays his book publisher. Erica Alexander is in it. It's a solid cast. Keith David's in it also.
Yay, Keith David. Yay, more Keith David. More Keith David in movies. More Keith David.
Dave isn't here, but the last episode of, what's it called? Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Keith David was back as the president. Great episode.
Keith David. Yay. More Keith David. More Keith David.
All we need now is for someone to sign off on Gargoyles.
Bring back Keith David. He's the voice of Goliath. Bring him back.
Dude, that's it. That's all I had for this week. I don't know if you had anything special for this week you want to tell people.
No, I don't think so. Just Canadian. Sorry. Woo. TF Slag, Transformer Slag podcast. Yep. And Aaron Archer.
Toy Armada. Yeah,
check it out.
Check them out. Guys, that's the whole show. We'll be back with another one next week. Thank you for tuning in. We always love and appreciate the fans. And so shout outs to Mark. Shout outs to who else gave us comments this week? Lee J, Mark, and Trophy Don 94 for tuning into this episode and your comments and whatnot. We look forward to more people tuning in every week. We'll be back with another one. Peace, everybody.
Peace.